If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, I'll begin reading in verse 22. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. By the way, while you're turning there, Brother Paul didn't know what I'd be preaching on tonight, and Miss Beth didn't know what I'd be preaching on tonight, and Sister Irel didn't know what I'll be preaching on tonight, but just about every song that was sung or played tonight fits with the sermon that God's laid on my heart. And it's amazing when God does that. I love that because I worry. I worry about what I preach, and I want to make sure that it's what God has for me. And when I read the Bible, sometimes I read it like a preacher, and I outline whatever I read instead of just reading it for myself. And so I have to be careful that I don't preach what God has for me, that I preach what God has for you. And sometimes He has it for me first. But it's just another evidence, another proof that this is what God wants for all of us because of all the way He's orchestrated all these songs. Anyway, Matthew chapter number 14, verse 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. If you'll notice, in verse 31, the last phrase, the Bible says, Wherefore didst thou doubt? And the title of the sermon tonight is, Why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? And let's pray, then we'll go on with the sermon. Heavenly Father, thank You for this night. Lord, thank You for all You've done. And Lord, I pray that You will take all of me. Lord, I pray that You'll use this sermon tonight. I pray that You'll give me the words to say. Help me to only say that which You would have me to say and nothing else. Lord, I pray that everything that is said will bring honor and glory to Thy name. And use this message, Lord, in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? We know that God's going to be there. We know that God's going to do what He said He's going to do. We know that God said He'd never leave us or forsake us. But we're just like the disciples, and we doubt. So wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt me? Why do we doubt the Lord? And this whole story, the setting of this story... Am I loud? I'm sounding loud up here. Am I all right? Okay. The whole setting of this story, it comes right after the Lord does a great miracle. And you know the story when the Lord was, and the disciples were actually trying to get away by themselves and pray and spend some time just to rest. And the people followed Him and they beat Him to wherever they were going. And then they got hungry and there were 5,000 men plus women plus children. So we're talking about maybe 20,000 people or more. And Jesus is there teaching them. And then they got hungry, and He had to feed them. And Philip said, well, we don't have any money to feed them. And finally one of them says, well, there's a lad here, and he's got two fish and five loaves of bread. And really the fish were probably about the size of sardines, and the bread was probably about the size of a cracker. So they had, I told the kids today in junior church, they had sardines and saltines. You know, that's what they had. And Jesus fed maybe 20,000 people, at least 5,000 men, plus their wives and plus the children. So He fed thousands and thousands of people. And this just took place, and He's sending them away. The Bible says there in verse 22, He constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. So that's our backdrop. And just imagine how tired Jesus is. I mean, He was a man. He was fully man and fully God. And so the humanity of Jesus, He was tired. I mean, He just fed 20,000 people. We feed six at home. and we want to take a nap after we're done. I mean, Jesus fed 20,000, and the disciples must have been tired because they were going back and forth. You remember, they split up the groups of 50 here, 100 here, 50 over there, and they all split up, and they walked back and forth, and Jesus broke the fish and the bread, and as Jesus handed the bread and the fish to them, they took it to the groups of people. So they had to be tired. And now the evening is coming, and Jesus said, "You guys get in the ship. I'm going to be by myself. I'm going to go pray." I said that this morning. He had to go by himself. The Son of God had to go and spend time with the Lord. He needed some time alone. And we see that there in verse 23. He was there alone. So Jesus gives this command to the disciples. The Bible says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he forcibly almost drove them into the ship and said, go, get in the ship, go across the sea. This is the Sea of Galilee. It's also called the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Tiberias. But it's the Sea of Galilee. And so the disciples get in the ship. And while they're in the ship going across the Sea of Galilee, here comes a storm. And the storm comes. And these were seasoned fishermen. And this storm came and they were afraid. So you know that it must have been a pretty bad storm. And these men were afraid. And then they doubted. The Bible says, of course, in verse 31, "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" But that little phrase before that, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" O thou of little faith. I looked that up. And that phrase is used several times in the New Testament. And it's actually used five times. One is right here in our text. The first one is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, the Bible says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" There's that phrase, "O ye of little faith." Can't the Lord give you what you need? Can't the Lord clothe you? Can't the Lord do all these things for you? And then again in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." That's the first time God calmed the storm. The first time when he was asleep in the boat, and they woke him up and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? And we're about to die here, Lord, and you're sleeping." And Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." And then he calmed the sea, rebuked the wind and the seas. And he said again, "O thou of little faith." Then the third time is in here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, "O thou of little faith." And then in Matthew chapter 16, verse 8, the Bible says, "Which when Jesus perceived," actually we'll start reading in verse 6, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread." They forgot to bring bread. They were going across the sea, and they forgot to bring their bread. And so they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. He said leaven, and they immediately thought, when they thought leaven, they thought about bread. And in verse 8, the Bible says, "Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread?" He wasn't talking about the bread they had. He said, it doesn't matter if you have bread. I fed 20,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread. O ye of little faith. Don't you remember that? That just happened a few chapters ago. Don't you remember that? I can feed anybody I want to feed. I can make bread out of a stone if I needed to feed everybody. And he said, O ye of little faith. He was really talking about the Pharisees and their hypocrisy and the Sadducees and all the things they had going on there. And every time, the next one is in the book of Luke, but it is in reference to one of these stories that we've already read. And every time that phrase, O ye of little faith, every time it's used, it's in reference to a lack of belief or lack of trust in Christ. They forget, the disciples forget, that Jesus is the Son of God. They forget. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 14, verse 31, verse 31, he says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why do you doubt me? Why are you doubting him? And we'll get more into this in a little bit. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But when we see this, God gave the disciples a command to do. And when God gives the disciples a command, when God gives us a command, he expects us to carry it out, to complete it. And he's not just going to give us a command, tell us to go do something, and then say, okay, guys, have a good time, enjoy it. see you later, and then go off and pray. You know, he's not going to leave us alone, leave us without any help, leave us without anything. And he says, oh, thou of little faith, why do you doubt? So why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? God's given us a job to do, right? God's given us a job to evangelize the world, right? Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature, right? Go and preach the gospel to every creature. God's given us that job to do. And while we're doing it, we run into storms, just like the disciples did. And number one, let's see the instruction that Jesus Christ gave to the disciples. The Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. He compelled them. He drove them. He said, come on. I remember one time when Brother Mickey and his dad were over here working on the junior church, and there was a man that had been drinking, wanting something to eat. Brother Mickey offered him a banana. He didn't want the banana. And then I came in there, and they tried to get me to get him out. And so I walked up behind him, and I put my arm around him, and you could tell he'd been drinking, and I compelled him to leave, tried to get him to leave. And he didn't want to have anything to do with me either, until I told him we wouldn't give him any money, and he couldn't have the banana anymore either. That's not true. Anyway, I compelled him to leave. So Jesus, I'm sure, put his arms around the disciples. Okay, get in the boat. Come on, get in the boat. I'm tired. Get in the boat. He compelled them. Straightway, he constrained the disciples to get into a ship. So he gave the disciples some instructions. It was get in the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee. It's very simple. Get in the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee. And while they were on the sea, in their ship, his instruction was to sail. And while they were in the ship, a storm came. And I want to talk about the storm a little bit, because when Jesus, being fully man and fully God, when Jesus told the disciples to get in the ship and go across the sea, do you think he knew that there was a storm brewing about to hit the Sea of Galilee later on that night? Yeah, sure he knew that. He's omniscient, right? He knew that that was coming. But he still said, get in the ship and go across the sea. He was sending them into this storm. And sometimes storms come by our own stupidity, right? We make our own mistakes and we do something stupid and we get into a big mess and God has to bail us out of it. That happens a lot sometimes to some people. I don't know anybody like that, really. My wife is over there going, you know, I get myself in a lot of trouble. But this storm wasn't like that. Sometimes storms come because the devil just wants to throw something at us, kind of like he did Job. But this storm isn't like that. This storm is by design. The Lord sent the storm to them to teach them. And if we look at this storm, we can see the source. Now we're talking about the instruction that God gave them, the instruction that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the disciples. And the storm came while they were trying to follow his instructions. And if we see the source of the storm, it was by design. He was wanting to teach them something. If you'll look back in your Bible there in Matthew 14, verse 23, the Bible says at the very end of the verse, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now the evening in the Jewish clock is between 3 and 6 p.m., right around there, the last several hours of the day. That's the evening, between 3 and 6 p.m. And then he says in verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. So when the evening was come, Jesus was there alone. Now we're talking about around 6 o'clock p.m. 6 o'clock p.m. And then the Bible says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. So at about 6 o'clock in the evening, the ship is being tossed to and fro by the storm. Now look at verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. The fourth watch, the night of the Jewish night was divided up into four watches. The first watch was from 6 to 9. The second watch was from 9 to 12. The third watch was from 12 to 3. And the fourth watch was from 3 to 6. In the morning, 12 hours went by. And Jesus was alone praying. And the disciples were being tossed to and fro by this wind, by this storm. Contrary. Jesus sent him in the sea knowing there was a storm that was coming. And he left him for 12 hours. Left him for 12 hours. He was trying to teach them something about who he was. That's the source. It was by design. It was from the Lord. And then notice the force of the storm. It was contrary and boisterous. Contrary. It's against everything that we do. We had a boy when I traveled with the quartet at Crown, and we said to him, "You're contrary." He said, "I am not." Some of y'all will get that later. He was contrary, and he proved it. He said, "I am not." And that's what this storm was, this wind. It was contrary. They'd try to go this way, and the storm would blow them back this way. All right, we'll try to go this way. Well, then the wind would blow them this way, back and forth. And it was boisterous. It was violent, strong and violent. That's the force. Sometimes we go through storms, and they're forceful. They'll knock us down, won't they? We're trying to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. We're trying to witness. We're trying to be faithful to church, trying to be faithfully doing the things that God's commanded us to do, and we get knocked around and we get thrown around. Sometimes storms come by design, like this one. That's the source. Then the force, it was contrary and boisterous. And the course of the storm was to teach them faith and to show himself to them, to show himself to them. We'll get more into that. So this storm came, and when God sends us on a mission to do whatever, to witness to somebody, to do anything, to start a church, to start a bus route, to save your marriage, anything. When God sends you on a mission to do anything, a storm might come. But when that storm comes, we don't need to doubt. Why do we doubt? Jesus sent the storm. Jesus wants to teach us faith in God. Why do we doubt? Why do we doubt that Jesus is going to do what he's going to do when he sent us to do something? The Bible says in Matthew 28:20 that he'll never leave us or forsake us, right? So I'll never leave you. And then in Numbers 23:19, the Bible says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken it, and shall he not make it good?" In other words, he's going to tell you to do something, then he's going to make it good. He's going to help you. He's going to help you carry it out. He's going to help you do whatever it is that you need to do. If he wants you to witness to your loved one, and he's not just going to say, "Go ahead, you need to talk to them," and then take his hands off of it. He's going to make it good. He's going to get us through it. So why do we doubt? He's given us these instructions, and we know what we ought to do. We can read through here, and we're learning in Sunday school. Read your Bible. Pray. Come to church. Give. Be a witness. We know those commands that God's given us. But even the other things that God may just lay on our hearts to do, we know when God tells us to do that, he's given us the instruction. So why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? Notice I'm not saying why do you doubt. Why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? It's hard sometimes to carry out these instructions that God has for us. And we get to looking at other things other than the Lord, and we're going to get to that in a minute. I'm sure you saw that coming. But we doubt. So number one, when God gives us some instructions, we don't need to doubt. God gives us these instructions. Number two, look at the incarnation. The incarnation. When trouble comes, Jesus shows up. Excuse me, I forgot my water. Which one should I drink? This means I'll preach long, and this means I'll preach short. Brother Vic even gave me a straw. I'll take the short one. Everybody said amen. Number one, the instruction. Number two, the incarnation. The incarnation. God manifested himself. The Lord Jesus Christ showed himself. When trouble came, when this storm came, although it was by design, and the force was contrary and boisterous, and the course was to teach them faith and to show himself to them, that's exactly what he did. He showed himself to them. In verse 25, the Bible says, "In the fourth watch, 12 hours after they'd been fighting this storm, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea..." By the way, it's all about the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get in a storm, and I know we're in a storm, but when we get into one, we just need to get as close to the Lord as we can. And Jesus always shows up. He always shows up when trouble comes. David and Goliath. Goliath is there mocking the children of Israel, and David gets there and he fights under the power of the Lord. God showed up. When Elijah took on all the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, God showed up and the fire came down and licked up the sacrifice and all the water in the trench. God showed up. He was in trouble. God showed up. And I don't know if you remember the story in 2 Kings chapter 6 when Elisha and his servant were surrounded by all these bad guys. And Elisha said, "Oh Lord, open up the servant's eyes." And they saw chariots of fire and all these warriors surrounding the bad guys that were surrounding Elisha and his servant. God showed up. When trouble comes, God shows up. The three Hebrew children thrown into the fiery furnace. There was a fourth man walking around in there, of course, and he was like unto the Son of God. God showed up when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in trouble. And when we're in trouble, God makes himself known to us. This is the incarnation. He shows up when we need him. And there have been times when I didn't know how we were going to make it. There have been times when I really didn't know what to do, whether it be a financial problem, a family problem, any kind of a problem. I didn't know how we were going to get through. But God just showed up. I don't know how he did it, but he just showed up. I mean, we could all tell stories. We could all tell stories about how he's done that for us. If I were to stop right now and ask for testimonies, I'm sure that almost every single one of us in this room, without fail, could stand up and say, here's a time in my life that God showed up and God took care of us. And he just came to my aid and he was there. God shows up when we have trouble. You see, he's not going to give us instruction and then leave us. He's not going to do that. He's going to give us the instruction. And then when we get into a storm, we'll see his incarnation. He'll come to us. He shows up. But look what happened to the disciples. Verse 26. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And in verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. They thought he was a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Now think about how they felt for a second. We kind of get on them. But think about how they felt. This was a bad storm, violent. They're already being knocked around by the waves. And I'm sure that they had never seen anybody walking on the water. So their first thought probably was, oh, that's Jesus. I mean, their first thought was, well, the only thing that could walk on the water that I know would be a ghost. I mean, really? I mean, that's probably what they were thinking. So now not only are they in a storm, but they've got a ghost coming after them. Can you imagine that? Man. I don't know if you, I mean, I'm picturing this ghost coming after them, you know. It is I. In a storm already. Going from bad to worse. They said, it's a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. When we're in trouble, in a storm, and God shows up, sometimes we don't recognize him. You know that? Sometimes when we get to the end of the week and all the bills are paid, and we still have money in the bank, we say, well, we must have added wrong. God didn't do anything there, really. We just added wrong. No, God showed up. God made himself known to us. And he gave us more money than we should have. Preacher said the other night, maybe a check will clear the next week instead of the week that we thought it was going to. You know, things like that happen. God just shows up. But we don't recognize him. We don't recognize his hand. And there have been times, I remember a time when I was in Tennessee going to college. And I was working an overnight transportation, working a split shift. I didn't want to work a split shift. I'd go into work on Sunday night after church and work until about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then go home and go back to work at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then get up and do it the next day, and get up early in the morning and go into work for a few hours, and then go back that afternoon. And I wasn't working very many hours in a row, but because of where they were, I mean, it just wore me out. Didn't get time to spend with my family. I was tired. I didn't know why I was still there. I had actually graduated from Bible college, and I was ready to go out and do something for God. And one night, on the early morning shift, one of the guys there, a truck driver, started picking on me about church and being a Christian, and talking right and saying the right things and you know, not using foul language and things like that. And I thought, man, it's going to be a long night. I already don't want to be here, and now I got to put up with this truck driver picking on me. But God showed up, and he took God's word, and in the back of a trailer, while we were supposed to be unloading it, I gave him the gospel, and he got saved. Now, he was picking on me about being a Christian. But before the night was over, he was a Christian. And I mean, then he read the Bible. We said, read the book of John. And he read the whole book of John in 2 or 3 days. I mean, he was just, you know, just amazing. God showed up. But at first I didn't recognize that's what God was doing. I thought it was just some jerk truck driver wanting to pick on me all night long. I'm very pickable. Yes. But God showed up. God showed up. And that's what he did for these disciples. That's what he did for these disciples. And so when we're in a storm, trying to do what God wants us to do, God's given us this instruction. And we start to doubt him when a storm comes. But then he shows up. So why do we doubt? But we do. Then we doubt that he even showed up. We just doubt. Why do we doubt? Oh, thou of little faith. Why do we doubt? So we've seen the instruction. We've seen the incarnation. And very quickly, I want to see the invitation. The invitation. Verse 28, Peter, still doubting. Jesus just said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." All right, if it's really you and not a ghost, then tell me to get out of the boat. I don't know why he thought that would make him think that he was Jesus. Because couldn't a ghost have said, "Yeah, come on out," you know? I mean, anybody could have said that, right? But that's what Peter needed to hear. And here's why I think. Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And in verse 29, Jesus said, and he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Come. Jesus said, come. We're in a storm, trying to do what God wants us to do. And now God showed up, and I don't recognize him, but he looks at me and he says, "Come. Come. He's going to help me. He's going to take me through this storm. He's going to get me through whatever it is I'm going through. Because he's got something he wants me to accomplish. He's got something, he's got a purpose for my life. He's got a purpose for your life and for this church. And so as we're trying to accomplish whatever that purpose is and whatever, wherever we fit into God's will, then he says, come, let me help you. Come, we need to be with him." He says, come. That's an invitation that Peter had heard before. Peter had heard that invitation before in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see." There it is, come and see. Now that wasn't Peter. That was Andrew. One of those disciples was Andrew, Peter's brother. And surely Andrew said, "I met this guy. He's Jesus." And John the Baptist said that that's the Lamb of God that's going to take away our sins. And we asked him, "Where do you live?" He said, "Come and see." Peter had heard that word from Jesus, "Come, come and see." And then we'll read on. "He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Then verse 43, the Bible says, The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus said to Andrew, Come and see. Come see where I live. And then a little bit later on, he found Philip. And Philip went to Nathanael, and Nathanael said, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said, Come and see. Come and see. It's an invitation that Peter had heard before, or heard of it before. Come and see. And then in Luke chapter 5, they're on the shore mending their nets. They'd been out fishing all night long, hadn't caught anything. And Jesus asked Peter to push the boat out a little bit off the shore, and he stood in the boat, taught the people. And then when he was done teaching, he said, Launch out into the deep, and throw down your nets. More than one. Peter said, We fished all night, didn't catch anything, but at your word, we'll let down the net. one net. He wished he would have let down two nets. Because the one net they caught almost broke. They had to call their buddies over. And at the end of that story, Jesus said to them, "From henceforth you'll catch men." He said, "Follow me." And the implication there, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Come and see. Come, follow me. He'd heard that invitation before. In John chapter 21, he's going to hear it again. This is well after the story that we're reading. But in John 21, Jesus has died and rose again. And Peter has gone back to his old ways. He's out on a boat fishing, not dressed right, probably not talking right. He'd already been using foul language the night that Jesus died. But then there's another figure on the shore, and they say, "It's the Lord." Peter jumps in the water and swims to shore. And Jesus says to him, "Come and dine." Isn't that good? Come and dine. That's the invitation. Those are storms that Peter was going through. Trouble that he ran into. Obstacles that he ran into. And Jesus says, "Come, come, come." And so Peter did. Peter came. And then Matthew 14 again. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He didn't get out to walk on the water just to say, "Hey, look, I walked on the water." He didn't get out to walk on the water so he could show off to his buddies. They were all cowering in fear in the ship. He got out of the boat and got in the water, or on the water, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. To go to Jesus. Because Jesus said, "Come." He said, "Come." And we're going through storms, going through trouble. We run into problems, trying to do what God has told us to do. He's given us instruction. And we're trying to do what He wants us to do when a storm comes. And when the storm comes, Jesus shows up. We see His incarnation. And then we hear His invitation. He says, "Come." We got to get out of the boat and go to Jesus. It was safer for Peter on the water than it was in the boat. In the boat, they're fighting the storm, wondering what's going to happen. But Peter was safer with Jesus. Safer with Jesus. We'll see that here in just a second. When he saw the wind, he's going to Jesus. When he saw the wind, boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. The same hands that he stretched forth when he died on the cross for our sins. And we say, "Lord, save me." He stretched forth his hands. And he says, "Come, come, 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 come to me." We're always trying to figure it, you know, trying to figure it out. We're always in the boat. That's where I'm usually in the boat. Here's me. I get into a storm, and I'm in the boat, and I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do? All right, the wind's coming this way. Let me try to sail this way. Wait a minute. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. You know, a lot of us do that, I guess. Try to figure out what we're supposed to do. But what we're supposed to do is get out of the boat, get on the water, and go to Jesus, and keep our eyes on Him. But we get sidetracked with all this stuff going around. We get sidetracked. Gas prices going high. The government bailing out all these things on Wall Street. The election. All of this stuff. Everything that we go through. We get sidetracked. Trying to pick up kids on the bus this morning. Called one at 8:45. Said, "All right, I'll be there at about 9:35, 9:40. I got to their house. They were up blaring some kind of Spanish music or something. Beat on the door. They didn't come. They called me about an hour and a half later. Church had already started. There was nothing I could do. You run into obstacles like that trying to get these kids to come to church. I know you run into the same things. You have the same troubles. Go through the same things. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to doubt. But Jesus says, "Why do you doubt? Why do we doubt?" He said, "I told you what I want you to do. I want you to get across the Sea of Galilee. I know a storm came. But," he said, "look at my incarnation. I showed up. You're in the middle of this storm following my instructions. So I'm going to show up." And when I show up, only one of them got out of the boat. He said, "Come." Only one of them did. The other ones waited till they got back in the boat. Look at that in verse 33. "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him." Oh, first, let's read verse 32. "When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.' Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him." Peter came down out of the boat while they were out in the storm. But the other disciples waited until they got back in the boat before they went over there and worshiped him. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be one of those disciples. I want to be one that jumps out of the boat and walks to Jesus right in the middle of the storm. Right in the middle of it. Boy, it's scary. It's scary. And I doubt him. But I got to do it. Because I know if I do it, I'll be safer on the water. Because Jesus loves me. And if he loves me and he says, come, I know he's going to protect me. I know he's going to take care of me. And I read that. I read that this week, studying for junior church, and I saw that where Jesus said, come. And I thought about that, and how in just a few months, Jesus is going to look at Peter after Peter denied him three times and say, come and dine. Come and dine. That's our Lord. He might send a storm to us, but he wants us to be with him, and he wants to teach us to have greater faith. He wants to teach us that he is who he said he is. He wants us to trust him. So we see that. We see his instruction. We see his incarnation. We see his, and we hear his invitation. So why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? God's given us a job to do, whether it be evangelize the whole world, or whether it be raise a family, or whether it be anything that God's given you to do. He's given us that job. And storms may come, but he's going to see us through it because he said he would. And he invites us and says, come, 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 come. So why do we doubt? Look at verse 34. I'm done. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. They made it. They made it across the Sea of Galilee. After 12 hours of fighting a storm, after being alone out there, after walking on the water, after worshiping the Lord and realizing that Jesus is who he said he is, they made it over. And Jesus says to them, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And that's what he says to us. That's what he says to us. You've got a job to do. And if you're carrying out what God wants you to do, no matter what it is, if you know God wants you to do it, it lines up with God's word. You may come into some storms. You will come into some storms. God's there. And he says, come. I'll get you to the other side. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for your invitation. Thank you that we can come to you for whatever we need, and you'll get us to the other side. Lord, I pray in these dark times, I pray in whatever times of trouble we're going through, whether they be outward or inward, Lord, whatever it is, I pray that you'll help us to look to you. And help us to heed your invitation and get out of the boat and walk to you. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, help us to have faith. Look to you, not doubt. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Will you stand with me? Nobody looking around.